Then, fifthly and lastly, the defilement of what is traditionally called conceit. Mana is also translated pride. It's more like high-mindedness, or even high and mightiness, if you like. And its method for overcoming is what is called the contemplation of the six elements. And the six elements are earth, water, fire, air, ether, as it's translated, and consciousness. Now, how does one proceed in this method? Well, you begin by concentrating yourself, by having a fair degree of mindfulness, and then you, as it were, attack this whole sort of I feeling, especially as applied to the body, thinking of the body as I and me, analytically. And you proceed like this. You're, as it were, sitting there, you're meditating, and you think, earth, earth. And you start getting a sort of feeling of what earth is. Is everything solid, everything cohesive? And you can think of all sorts of things in the objective world which are made of earth, which are solid. You can think of natural things like trees and rock. You can think of man-made things like houses and books. But all this is earth. And then you think, not only is there earth, not only is there the element of earth in the external world, but there's also earth, the element of earth, in that internal world, that subjective world, which is me. In me, in my physical body, the element of earth is present. In what form is it present? Well, there's my bones, there's my flesh. These are all derivatives of the element earth. So where have these come from? Where have my bones come from? Where has my flesh come from? Where has this earth element in me come from? It's come from the earth element outside me. It's not mine. I've borrowed it. I've taken it from the earth element outside myself for a short time and incorporated it into my own being, my own substance, my own body. But I've only borrowed it. I'm not going to be able to keep it forever. After a few years, maybe after a few hours, I've got to give it back. The earth element in my body will be resolved into the earth element in the objective world. So how can I say of that earth element that this is mine? How can I say of it that it is me? I've got to give it back. It's not mine, it isn't me. So all right, let it go. Let the earth element which is in me go. I can't claim to possess it. It's not me. I can't identify with it. And then in the same way you take up the element water. You think water, water, something fluid, liquid, flowing. You find it outside in the world. You find it in rivers. You find it in the oceans. You find it in streams. You find it in rain. You find it in dew. You find it in all these things. So there's a water element in you. There's blood. There's bile. There are tears, etc. All these things are the water element in you. So where have you got that water from? Obviously from outside. And when you die, it's got to be rendered back. So that water element doesn't belong to you, is not part of you, it is not you. So let it go. Cease to identify with it. Then fire. What about fire? There's the fire element in the external world. There's the sun, the source of all heat. All the heat, all the warmth, all the light in the solar system comes from the sun. So there's heat in us, warmth in us, but where does it come from? It comes from the external world. Comes from the sun. Comes from the fire element in the external world. One day I've got to give it back. I can't hold on to it for long. When I'm dead, I'll just go cold. Heat will just disappear. Just leave my body. So that fire element in me, which at the moment is doing all sorts of things, digesting my food and so on, according to traditional Indian ideas, that is not mine. It is not me. doesn't belong to me. I can't identify with it, so let it go. Let the heat element in me go back to the heat element in the universe. So. And then air. What about air? Well, there's air in the external world, obviously. There's this atmosphere which envelops the whole earth. And then in me, there's the breath of life, coming into my lungs, going from my lungs, which I'm inhaling, exhaling all the time. But I've only borrowed it for a short while, it's not mine. A time will come when I breathe in and breathe out, breathe in, breathe out, and then I don't breathe in anymore. I'll be dead, and there won't be any more breath left in my body. I'll have rendered it back. So I can't say of the air element in me that it's me or mine, so let it go. Don't identify with it. And then space, or ether, what about that? Well, the body that I at present have and with which I identify myself, made up of the first four elements, it occupies space. So, all right, when the earth element goes, the water element goes, the fire element goes, the air element goes from my body, what's left? Nothing. Just an empty space. An empty me-shaped space. That's all. So what is to differentiate that me-shaped space from the surrounding space? Nothing at all. As the Indian tradition says, if you break a pot, a clay pot, the space which is inside the pot merges with the space outside the pot. There's no difference anymore. So the space which was occupied by you, by your physical body, that space, when the body disintegrates, merges back into the universal space, as it were, you don't exist anymore. You're not there. So how can you hang on even to this whole physical body at the moment occupying space? You can't. So let that space which is you, which you're occupying, merge into the universal space. And then, sixth and lastly, consciousness. Associated with your physical body is consciousness. And you might say, well, even if I'm not earth, if I'm not fire, if I'm not water, if I'm not air, if I'm not even space, at least I'm consciousness. But not even that. Even the consciousness is borrowed. Even what you call your consciousness is a sort of reflection, a sort of gleam of some higher, more universal consciousness, which in a sense is you, yes, but also in a sense, very definitely, is not you. You are it, maybe, or it is you, but you can't say that you are it in the ordinary sense, or that it is you in the ordinary sense. It's rather like a dream. It's rather like some other dimension. Sometimes you may think in the waking state that you have the dream, but when you're experiencing the dream, well, where are you? It's as though the dream is having you. So it's like that in the case of this higher dimension of consciousness, which we identify with me. The consciousness is there, but the me, as it were, has to go. So it's as though the lower consciousness has to merge itself, though again without being destroyed, because it is consciousness, or at least it is conscious, in the higher consciousness. So even that individuality in that sense, that I sense, even that goes. There's no loss of consciousness, but consciousness is no longer centered on the I. But again, in another sense, you were never more completely yourself. It's just paradoxical. So these now are the five basic methods of meditation to get rid of distraction, mindfulness of breathing, to get rid of aversion, development of universal loving kindness, to get rid of craving, the recollection of death, to get rid of ignorance, contemplation of the chain of conditioned co-production, to get rid of conceit, contemplation of the six elements. Now, I've mentioned all of these, I'm afraid, very briefly, but sufficiently perhaps to give you some idea of what they're all about.